In the WCBS Eye on Politics, we are pleased to be joined by the governor-elect of Connecticut, Dan Malloy. Mr. Governor-elect, welcome.
Well, it's great to be with you. I'm a regular listener, so this is fun.
Well, we appreciate that. Here it is 1 week later, and we can now officially and safely call you governor-elect. You must be pleased that it's all over.
Yeah, I obviously I'm happy that the election is done with. I mean, we had a pretty good idea early Wednesday morning that it was over. But, you know, Mr. Foley took an appropriate amount of time to figure out exactly where he was and where we stood. And he was very gracious and, conceding to me yesterday. I'm very, very appreciative of that.
Before we move into your agenda, I want to touch on something you just said. Mr. Foley, I thought, was gracious. He made it very clear. Let there be no question. We have found no improprieties, no fraud. Dan Malloy was the winner.
Yep. No, I thought he was very gracious, and under difficult circumstances, I'm sure he was deeply disappointed, but he did a wonderful thing for his state, and I very much appreciate it.
Now, Governor-elect, what is job one for you as you prepare to take office?
Well, we've got to put Connecticut's fiscal house in order. That begins with a delivery to me of a transition budget from the current governor. I'll get that next week, and we'll go to work on that. And in that context of balancing our budget, of living within our means, we also have to lay the groundwork for job growth. Connecticut has suffered mightily over the last 22 years with zero job growth, even before the recession. So these two issues, how to balance a budget without destroying the safety net, and how to lay the groundwork for robust economic growth in the future, really is going to occupy, I imagine, every waking moment of the next year.
As you know, there is quite an anti-Democrat sentiment going across the country. We saw that in elections across the country. You will be the first Democrat to be governor of Connecticut in 20 years. I think a lot of people would like to know, what's your secret?
I speak forthrightly and tell the truth and talk about changing the rules, which is what we're going to do. We're going to go to a different form of accounting called Generally Accepted Accounting Practices, GAAP, finance rules, which means we'll be telling the truth to the people of Connecticut about how bad things are, and by the way, telling the truth to the legislature so that they understand how bad things are. I've taken reasonable commitments with respect to protecting the safety net. After that, everything else is on the table, and everyone else is invited to the table to make sure that we can balance our budget. So we're changing the rules. We're going to speak forthrightly. There'll be a level of transparency, which I have promised the people of Connecticut. And I think the other thing, and many of the listeners of News Radio 88 will understand this, I was mayor of Stamford for 14 years. People got to know what my track record was and what we accomplished in repositioning a major city in the United States from an old industrial base to being one of the financial capitals of the world. So I think ultimately that's why they decided to hire me.
What do you see as the biggest challenges facing the state of Connecticut right now?
Well, we need to change the climate. We need to change the political rhetoric. We need to get away from highly partisan discussions to bipartisan discussions where people are pulling in the same direction to improve Connecticut. And I think, unfortunately, we haven't had that for a long period of time. We had Democrats controlling the legislature. We had Republican governors. They always seemed at war with one another. Neither side gave particularly well or got particularly well. So, one of the first acts after my press conference yesterday, I had heard that the Republican members of the legislature were in caucus, and I knocked on the door and went in and paid my respects and said hello and talked about changing the political rhetoric and the climate of Connecticut, and hopefully they'll embrace that.
Governor-elect, one issue that I'd like you to address. Yesterday, Stephen Hayes was condemned to death for the Cheshire home invasion murders. Some people were quick to say, he'll never be put to death. Dan Malloy is about to become governor. Can you address that?
Well, yeah, listen, I am going to be governor, and my opposition to the death penalty is well known. I have said that if legislation was passed on a prospective basis, that is going out into the future, that eliminated the death penalty, I would sign that. Not going backwards, so it wouldn't have any direct impact with respect to those sentences currently handed out. But I also have to go a step further. Connecticut does not have a working death penalty statute. There are two people on death row in Connecticut who've been there for in excess of 20 years. And I think the average length on death row, and I think there are approximately 9 or 10 individuals, is something approaching 12 years. So we're not talking about a statute that works particularly well. And I'm not sure what will happen to this gentleman if he decides he wants to be put to death. That will happen. That's the only way it's happened in Connecticut since 1960. So we'll see what happens. But I support the verdict. I support the decision of the jury. I will do nothing to impinge on that. But I think it does raise a serious question whether Connecticut has a workable death penalty statute.
Take us back to the moment you realized you were, in fact, going to be the next governor of Connecticut. Put us inside your head, your thoughts as the long campaign came to a successful end.
Well, you know, that happened on election night at about 12:15 or so, Wednesday morning in the a.m. We did the math. We realized that we were going to win this race with somewhere between 2,000 and 12,000 votes. As it worked out, I think we won by about 5,300 or 5,600 votes. It was that moment, but there was a lot of turmoil. I mean, I went and spoke to my supporters. Mr. Foley went to speak to his supporters. I think at that point he thought he had won by 3,000 votes. We knew that wasn't true. The whole thing resolved itself over time. I think yesterday when Mr. Foley was kind enough to call me, I very much appreciated it, and I think at that moment we really began in earnest the transference of authority and power from the current governor to myself, which will take place on January 5th. So, it's been a long process of recognition and celebration, and now moving forward in earnest.
Have you spoken with Governor Rell about the transition?
Yes, I had the opportunity to speak with her yesterday afternoon, Monday afternoon, and she was quite gracious herself and wants to work with me. We'll be forwarding large amounts of documentation from her various commissioners, as well as transmitting a proposed budget to me for my review. I have to make a budget proposal on January 5th to the legislature, so there's a lot of work to be done. But she extended herself, and I very much appreciate it.
He is the next governor of the state of Connecticut, Dan Malloy, governor-elect. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Great to be with you. Have a wonderful day.